Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Listeners, and welcome to Ohio Mysteries. Let's get into our week in review. Last Sunday, Paula brought us the Akron Porch Murders. In 2009 and 2010, two women who answered their doors were found dead on their porch. Then, in 2015, a woman who was at a friend's house shared the same fate. Then on Wednesday, Ohio Mysteries Backroads gave us part two of Outlaws, Scoundrels, and Bootleggers, covering Hell's Half Acre in East Liverpool, Ohio. Definitely check out Mike and Dan on Wednesday nights. Now, let's give a big thanks to the listeners who pitched in for our firewood fund this week. Shout out to Colin Sergio, Monique Babe, Krista, and Patricia Cunningham. Thank you from all of us here at Ohio Mysteries. Now, let's throw another log on the fire, campers. Let's dig up a new mystery. I'm your co-host, Steve Yoder, and with us, as always, is our storyteller and journalist who spent 30-plus years telling these kinds of stories at the Akron Beacon Journal, Paula Schleiss.
Hi, everybody. Our story tonight makes me wonder how many city parks have bodies buried beneath their soil. There are apparently a number of parks that used to be cemeteries. We did a story before on Schneider Park in Akron. That's where the graveyard of a 19th century asylum was donated to the city, which then turned it into a park without removing many of the bodies. Today, you can see the rectangular dips in the soil where caved-in coffins rest in perfectly straight rows, next to where kids play soccer and neighbors walk their dogs and families have picnics. And I know now Schneider isn't a unique situation because of a story circulating this month out of Hamilton, Ohio, down in southwest Butler County. It's there that Zachary Kramer, a 17-year-old junior from Baden High School, wanted to earn his Eagle Scout status by trying to determine whether a Revolutionary War soldier and his wife were still buried at the park. And, spoiler alert, it looks like he may have found them. Now, the park in question is Sims Park, 3.8 acres of green space with a playground, basketball courts, and a single grave and monument that is known, belonging to a very unique man. But hold on. There's a lot of American history in this story, and I'd rather tell it chronologically so that you can appreciate the full context of this site. So, let's go back to 1791. It's a few years after America had fought its way to independence, and Hamilton was actually Fort Hamilton. The young America was marching west, and Fort Hamilton was established as a frontier outpost. It was used for moving supplies and horses for the United States Army into the American frontier. And that included supplying the troops of generals like Arthur St. Clair and Mad Anthony Wayne, a pair of the more infamous commanders in America's border wars with the Indians. By the way, if you haven't guessed it, the fort was named for everyone's favorite Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.
The fort had a short life. In less than a decade, the military no longer needed it. But a community had sprung up around it, and Hamilton began its transition into a regular town with lots of agricultural and trading activity. It was incorporated into a city in 1810. Now, folks who lived and died at Fort Hamilton and then the city of Hamilton were buried originally in one of two Hamilton burying grounds, both of which have long since been turned into city parks. Burying grounds number one is where Sims Park is, bordered by South 3rd and 4th Streets and Sycamore and Charles Streets. The other one, Hamilton Burying Grounds number two, later became Sutherland Park, a 3-acre playground on Park Avenue on the west side. The West Side Cemetery was the choice of many early pioneer families, including the Sutherlands, the Millikens, and the Falconers. But the most famous resident of Hamilton was buried at the other cemetery, where the park is named for him. This is the grave that I mentioned is still there and well known. It's no secret. He was John Cleves Sims, Jr., and believe it or not, you know something of him. I promise you do, if only by the legacy he left behind. You see, Sims was a captain during the Revolutionary War, but he became famous in his time because he was convinced that the Earth was hollow and that the inside of the planet featured a lush and bright world filled with people, animals, and vegetation. He published his Hollow Earth theory. He sent letters to leaders of many countries expounding on it and tried raising money for a polar expedition that would prove it. He spent years on the lecture circuit. Most of the world was, well, unimpressed with his theory, but he developed a loyal fan base that actually exists to this day. Yes. There are people who still believe there is a lush, vibrant world inside the world we know. Now, does this sound familiar? It should, because that's how you know this guy. You see, Sims' Hollow Earth theory inspired a famous author, Jules Verne, to write his classic, Journey to the Center of the Earth. We did an episode on Sims. I'll put a link to him in the episode notes, as well as the link to the Schneider Park. The Sims story is just fascinating. Sims died in 1829, but just 20 years later, the city of Hamilton had a new central graveyard. It later became called Greenwood Cemetery. And they started digging up folks from both the old burying grounds number one and burying grounds number two, and moving them to their new home. They purposely left John Sims where he was, and over the years, erected a monument to him. It tells his story. They surround it with a fence. I mean, it's a roadside attraction. His grave, as I said, is not the mystery here, and not what our determined young Eagle Scout candidate was looking for. Because whether the crews that had been moving those graves out of that area into the new cemetery missed a few accidentally, or whether they just decided they'd moved enough, we know without a doubt that Sims was not the only person left behind at the park. In 1902, a crew digging a trench for the Hamilton Home Telephone Company at High and Front Streets found a skeleton about 3 feet underground. I suppose it's a sign of those times that a contemporary news report mused that the bones probably belonged to some pioneer who was killed by the Indians. Of course, there would be no way of knowing that. The skeleton, more likely, was just a local resident who died of illness or old age. But, as I said, the story does prove that the folks who were moving the cemetery's inhabitants back in 1848 did not get them all. Now, let's fast forward to 2024. It wasn't really much of a stretch for our high school junior, Zachary Kramer, to think others might have been left behind as well. As part of a project to earn his Boy Scout history badge and make Eagle Scout, Zachary followed up on a hunch that one couple, at least, also remained behind, and that they were Paul and Mary Bunnell. In doing this research, he had the help of freshman high school history teacher Chris Maraschilo, and I am praying I am close to pronouncing that name correct. Now, Paul Bunnell was a private in the American Revolution, and he and his wife are not listed among the bodies that were removed to the new cemetery, which suggests they were not moved. Now, I've got to tell you a little bit about Paul Bunnell, because as fate would have it, he isn't just some random Hamilton citizen. He's really an American hero, even if he has been unknown to this point. In 1782, while patriots were still fighting the British for American freedom, Bunnell was living in Elizabethtown, New Jersey, and he enlisted as a private under Colonel Richard Butler in the Philadelphia Light Horse Regiment. Zach said his research indicated Bunnell was only 15 when he enlisted. He ran away to the Pennsylvania recruitment site and lied about his age so they would accept him. The Philadelphia Light Horse, by the way, was one of the first organizations established for the Revolution, and it's still around. Today, it's known as the 1st Troop Philadelphia City Cavalry, and it's part of the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. Bunnell served for 2 years. Part of that time, we know, was spent guarding British prisoners in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. When the war ended, he married Mary Pearson, and the couple had 2 daughters, Abigail and Rachel. But when the War of 1812 broke out, he re-enlisted. Zachary said his research revealed that at one point, and it wasn't clear to me whether it was during the Revolution or the War of 1812, Bunnell got shot in the head by a musket ball. He survived the injury and even re-enlisted afterward. Anyway, Bunnell and his wife Mary eventually were laid to rest at the old Hamilton Burying Grounds No. 1, and one of their obituaries described the general area of the graves, and it pointed to a spot within today's Sims Park. Our modern-day sleuth, Zach Kramer, enlisted the help of a business called Underground Detective. They're a Cincinnati company that uses electromagnetic and radar equipment to locate utilities and assist with utility mapping. But they can use that same technology to show if something below the surface has been intentionally disturbed. That would be a great help in looking for a forgotten grave. So the question was, where to point that scanner? Zachary walked the park, looking for a physical indication of any graves, and darned if he didn't find it. Two rectangular dips in the ground that looked as if they were sinking to fill in a void. He told a reporter recently, "We didn't know for sure, so it was kind of like a shot in the dark. We glanced over it, and we kept on going, and then I turned back and said, 'Don't those coffins cave in after a while?' And he was like, 'Yeah.'" The radar confirmed there is disturbed soil in those areas. There's no way to be perfectly sure it's where the Bunnells were buried. Zach's teacher advisor, Marichello, said, "It's something we don't know because some of the other family members who were buried here were removed. So we can only speculate." Still, some folks think it's a pretty good bet. There are no plans to excavate, but even without absolute proof, Zach has plans for that spot. He wants to build a bench and install a plaque that will remember the brave soldier and his wife. Already, earlier this month, a special military-style ceremony was held at the spot during the Hollow Earth Fest on April the 13th to specifically remember Paul Bunnell. Heck, even if those two voids at the park don't belong to the Bunnells, it sure seems like a historical veteran worthy of some attention.
That's it for tonight, listeners. For photos, news clippings, and more on this and every single one of our episodes, head on over to OhioMysteries.com, and we will see you back here next week for a brand new episode of Ohio Mysteries.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.